Greetings, adventurers. I am Tim Lanning, your dragon rider this evening. And joining me, as always, is Mike Bachman.
Oh my god, hi!
Nika Howard.
Oh, hello!
Jennifer Cheek.
Hello!
And a very, very, very special guest GM, Pat Edwards.
Hi, all my buddies.
Michael, unfortunately, had a death in the family, so we are sending our condolences, our love, our kisses, and things like that his way and to all of the family on that side. And because of that, it's sort of lined up with a time that we are planning on playing this fun new spin on D&D 5th Edition with our friend Pat. Pat, do you want to tell us a little something about what we're about to get up to?
Yeah, tell me about these dragons.
We are going to play a little snippet, get a little taste of a cool upcoming 5th Edition source book called Songs of Chaos. It's an adaptation of a book series, the Songs of Chaos book series by Michael Miller. They are fun books, fun fantasy adventure books about dragon riders, you know, humans bonding with dragons and fighting off evil in the world, the evil scourge of the world, which are swarms of bug monsters, undead bug monsters that try to eat everybody, num 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 num. And it's really cool. This great company, Wider Path Games, has done all the crunch of basically throwing out all of the standard classes in 5th edition and took on the Herculean task of saying, how do we actually make this work? And then they built out a new kind of class system that is both, in my opinion, there's a lot to play around with. It's very robust, but it's also not a very steep learning curve, because basically the big choice you got to make is, what kind of dragon you're going to pair with?
A big one.
A big one.
Yeah. I want it to be like smoking weed on the side of a van. Yeah.
Well, you should have picked Emerald like Bachman then, I feel.
That's
like.
That's why he picked so fast. He was immediately on it.
Yeah. You picked the square of the dragon.
My dragon actually has a tattoo of just a normal Chevy Astro van on the side of him.
Wow.
Play on trope there. But that sounds really fun. I like when games take the familiar and add a little twist to it.
Yeah.
So I like that, as you described, they're kind of changing the core of 5th edition a little bit to fit their idea.
I really like what they've done is it's a source book primarily. It's the world where this takes place. So fans of the book series can play in this world. Mm-hmm. Where I was brought in to the project was, so they did all this hard work and they said, well, we need someone who knows writing in these systems that can kind of write narratively and give us. So what I did was I wrote not a whole full-length campaign, just like an introductory adventure is kind of like a head start for your GMs to kind of, here's a jumping off point to get the players familiar with what's going on, get them bonded with the dragon. From there, go. The world is, you know, it's your sandbox. Go have fun. And then a bunch of, so in addition to this introductory adventure that takes players from level 0 to level 3, we have over 24 individual encounters that were built, designed to be pretty malleable, where you can kind of, you know, drop them as needed if you're just looking for something to kind of thicken up or it might spark some interest. I really like the way that they've structured this because it, in my opinion, does a really good job of walking the line of giving GMs tools to make it a little bit easier and fun for them, but also giving them plenty of room to put their own creative spin on their campaigns.
Hell yeah. Sounds like it's a good value. If you're listening to this in podcast form, you can go to the description and there will be a special link to take you to the Kickstarter page, which runs from October 11th, right, Pat?
Correct. It goes live
29 days after that?
Yep, whatever that is.
Whatever that is of 2022. So you can go there, and if you use our link when you sign up for any of the tiers for Kickstarter, for their Songs of Chaos Kickstarter run, then we get a little kissy on the back end, as we like to say. So legally, this is hashtag ad. Hashtag sponsored, but since we like Pat, we probably would have done this for free regardless because we like to support our buds that do cool things.
Mm-hmm. I would have sent a bill.
I would have made Pat buy me like a drink or something. I don't know.
I'd known to do that a time or two at GeeklyCons.
Like, you have to drive me in your car somewhere.
That too. We can make that happen. No, that's shout out to Wider Path Games. So it's their project, and they brought me in, and then they reached out, and we were talking to them after, and as they were saying, we want to do some promotional stuff. And they said, we know you have a foot in that world. Do you have anything you'd like to do set up? I said, I know this super awesome community that I think would be really interested in this.
Oh, I could just get on legally the longest running Dungeons and Dragons podcast. And then you don't, and if you say it out loud, you don't have to put all the asterisks in it, you know?
This world is a world made up of smaller kingdoms instead of one giant. A lot of small kingdoms that sometimes get along, sometimes don't. One thing they all are allied on is they hate the Scourge. The Scourge sucks. The Scourge is this unknowable horde swarm of undead insectoid monsters that will emerge from a rift in the ground every couple of years, wreak some havoc. Hopefully it's not too bad. Hopefully they get beat back and call it a day.
All my homies hate the Scourge.
To combat this threat, there is something called the Order. The Order is the sort of organization of dragon riders. They kind of regulate it. It's very political, very bureaucratic, and it pairs humans with newborn dragons. And they kind of try to maintain a bit of a monopoly on this main continent. There are renegades out there. Some kingdoms, their sort of chapter of the Order is a little more friendly than others. Some are very anti-renegades. We, in a just improv moment, kind of on the fly, had decided that your gang, your group, was brought up in a commune that's kind of, well, off the beaten path, away from most of these more established kingdoms, and it was founded by a former Order dragon rider who came disillusioned with everything, the bureaucracy, the politics, the lack, you know, the disingenuousness of it all, went off to do their own thing, and they founded a commune. And I didn't name this person, so if anyone wants to name, tell me anything about this person, just
Hester Crowsworth.
Love it.
How did you know that?
Bachman raises up a piece of paper that says Hester Crowsworth.
I'm really sad that you got in so fast, because I had a hag name generator up, and it came up with the name Ancient Glory of Rodent Hands.
That could be Hester's dragon.
Ancient Glory of Rodent Hands.
And you all, and one thing you all like to do, you know, you collect, you find dragon eggs that are, because another thing is dragons can be very picky, and sometimes eggs that aren't perfect, in quotes, are discarded and neglected and not cared for. So Hester had created this commune, and was, you were all some apprentices, some pupils that had bonded with some young dragons. You're all kind of at level 5 and novice level. So your dragons are, they're growing. They're medium size. We're going to fudge the rules and say they're just big enough for you to ride on them for short periods of time.
We're like fresh, and we're like ready to go.
Yeah. Before this adventure, all of our characters took a quick diet in order to let our dragons.
You cut.
Yeah. Instead of like scale mail, we're all wearing trash bags.
Nothing but protein shakes and heads of lettuce for 6 months.
Yeah. Chicken and broccoli. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, though, one tragic day, you all came back from some training exercises to find your commune largely thrashed and destroyed, and Hester and his dragon slain.
Oh, no.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
We love a tragic backstory, don't we, folks?
Wait, why do we even bother naming him?
You knew I was going to pack bond with Hester.
He's so sad about him.
So you've set off on a quest of vengeance.
Yeah, we fucking hate him.
Unfortunately, we're gonna have to leave the relative safety and seclusion of where you're living and sail across a small stretch of ocean to the main continent, where these kingdoms of Brennan and Rosalia and Fjorlin, these more established kingdoms with very, very formal dragon rider factions of the Order.
Yeah, they got the big Walmart.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to open, and you have chartered passage on a boat called the Dauntless Barge. It's a very, very large ship with a lot of deck space to it that has transferred dragon riders before in the past. So
large barge.
Your babies can can hang out on the deck. And it's a barge that it's multi-purpose, where it does transport of cargo, of people. So they do have amenities, not full-on cruise ship amenities, because they have, it's one of those things where it's almost like their motto, we'll sail any waters. And you're all just kind of, it's a nice day. You're all just kind of hanging out on the deck. There is a bar on the deck.
Oh.
It's kind of grizzled older woman. Her name is Helga Brine. She just is just always wiping down the bar. Never not wiping down the bar. She has crazy delts because she's just always doing this motion.
Yeah.
the bar is just sparkling clean.
Does she switch arms at all, or is it just
one? No, it's
one
just
big...
her left hand. Just her left shoulder is just yoked.
Off to the side, there's a table covered in treats, like steamed buns and just all sorts of, and just chowing down. There's both a dragon and a young adolescent boy. The dragon is an emerald dragon. But with like a sick mask over like a gold mask, like over the top of his head.
Mm-hmm.
He's got like his wings, but also like a second set of like decorative wings that look really badass.
Oh, sick.
Like sticking out of the middle of him. The adolescent youth is big gloves, big shoes, goggles, big hair. I've been watching a lot of Digimon. My dragon's name is Terramon, based off of Tarragon, which in Swedish and Dutch is sometimes called dragon. My character's name is Chizumi Kusaki.
Whoa, okay.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So there's another dragon actually kind of like floating off like a little bit like forward where the boat is going, but laying back on, like, with its belly and wings out to the sun, absorbing it in the water. And it's kind of, like, coppery colored, but with, like, an undertone of that patina that copper gets. So, like, a little bit of that, like, teal and coppery. And it looks very, like, zen, like, just chilling. And then when it is time for it to, like, you know, the boat starts to catch up, then it does, like, a very elegant, like, kind of roll back and then shoots out of the water to fly over. And it's, like, crystalline. And you see it on the side of the boat looking at this dragon with pride in her face is a... I wish she's humanoid, for sure. She's human-esque. and her skin has a very slight, like, pale green tint to it.
Yum.
And her hair is dark, and it almost looks like it's got, like, a little bit of, like, a turquoise teal situation in the sun. My character's name is Penelope Meyerfoot. Penelope is wearing, like, what you would expect. Like, this is, like, almost like a costume outfit in that it's very, like, diaphanous and flowing and, like, kind of, like, off the shoulder. And she's got little, like star, like, pins to keep her hair back. And it's, like, very flowing. And,
hell yeah.
Yeah. And that is my dragon. Whose name is Oberon?
Oberon, hell yeah.
Love it.
And it's, and Oberon is a mystic dragon.
Ooh.
Yes.
Oberon and Penelope have good brains. They do brain stuff good.
We are so smart, and we're so good at fucking up other people's brains.
That's very scary. The third dragon is laying over in a shadowy corner and has just a pile of gold underneath them. And it's this lady dragon, and she's laying on it. And she's a black dragon, but she kind of, like, has this, like, almost pinstriping on her scales. It looks pretty neat. She's a storm dragon. And she's sitting there, and she's just kind of, like, touching all of the gold and, like, making sure she's got it all. Her name is Susan. And then my character would be the opposite side of the boat, like, looking. They both have vantage points, making sure that our backs are covered. We know where the entrance and exits are. And my character is wearing not, like, kind of like a suit, but, like, tight fitting for all of it. So it's like a riding jumpsuit, but it looks like a suit. Her name is Naharin Nazdar Navarone, and she has just black hair. She looks like humanoid, and she's just standing there looking at the dragon, looking at everyone else, and they're just smoking, both her and the dragon. And they smoke in tune with each other.
That's excellent.
My dragon, who is obviously named Celiarxis of the Dream, doesn't really like people. He is a lunar dragon. And as you all know, they are very, very, very rare. So I don't want to deal with any questions. He doesn't really like dealing with all the people. So he's kind of flying towards the back, diving underwater, swimming underwater a little bit, and coming back up. Every now and again, you'll see the light reflected off her beautiful, kind of like deep purplish crystalline scales.
Excellent. And the human that's bonded with Celiarxis.
Yeah, I am a human, and I'm playing Taigen Brontagar. Basically take all the worst men from Revolutionary Girl Utena. And that's more or less what he looks
like. Wow, oh, that's great. He's got, like, long hair.
Yeah, he has long lavender hair. He's like anywhere between 6 feet and 7 feet tall, depending on who's standing next to him. And he has on what you probably consider, like, a dress military outfit with a nicely patterned breastplate on it, and thick, dark black riding boots. Lots of light colors, purples and teals and filigree throughout. He looks like a very fancy man. Yaoi chin, yaoi hands.
Oh my god, yeah, the longest hands you've ever seen.
He's sitting back, smelling a rose and quaffing a wine that he thought was passable on this large barge.
Are you intentionally looking like you're not interested in having a conversation with anyone?
No, I think I'm probably talking to someone who's obviously to everyone else bored mm-hmm. by me describing just how the food in the commune doesn't stack up to where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't get the same type of grapes out there. You understand, certainly. My uncle, well, my uncle's uncle, has a winery in the foothills that the grapes you can just peel off if you just rub it. Give me your finger real quick.
I'm going to say at the bar, and she holds up an incredibly pruny finger because she's been holding a damp rag and wiping for just hours and hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lovely. Perhaps give me your other hand. This one is... Bartle-clad to me.
She lets go of the draft, the tap. She just holds it. Her hand kind of like almost creaks. It's like she just never lets go of the tap. The draft.
Well, I mean, dust falls off. you can peel a grape as easy as this, and I just place a tender kiss on the most sensitive part of her palm.
Are you you getting fresh with me, young man?
I lean back and I kick my impossibly non-Euclidean long yaoi boy legs on the bar. Depends. Are you enjoying the freshness?
I mean, it's been a minute, but I could maybe throw you around the cabin for an hour or two.
I get off at 4 a.m.,
I'll be asleep, but knock three times on my cabin, and we'll see what happens.
All right. I'm going to hold you to that.
It's good to yuck it up with the commoners from now and again.
Yeah. Can we say, like, 4:30? I'll take 30 minutes to stretch. I'm going to stretch because I get limber, because I'm going to be pretty stiff.
Tell you what. Can I get a rain check, maybe? Little nervous. God, I've got a big day tomorrow. You know how it is.
I do. I'm an intimidating. I understand.
No, you're beautiful. You're beautiful.
Men have always been intimidated by me.
You came on pretty strong, I think, and it was really unattractive to me. But you're great. You're great.
I think we established you as the one getting fresh with me, but okay then. Sure, sure.
Because there's been getting fresh and then you falling off the damn cart.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyways, more wine.
More wine what?
And I snap my fingers.
No. I get it. You got big dragon. What do we say?
Please.
Mm-hmm. She reaches out to like tickle your chin.
She loves it.
And then she starts pouring. Yeah. And then she pours it's just this like super strong, very bold, dry red wine. That's just like, you can almost chew it. It's just so intense.
Chunky wine.
I put my glass, or I leave my glass there on the bar. I give her a wink and I take the bottle and I walk on over to Chisumi. Ooh-y. Right? Right?
Ha!
Boy, am I right?
This both Chisumi and Bachman didn't understand what you said two times in a row.
I walked over to you with a bottle of wine and I go, "Oi, am I right?"
I can't drink that stuff. I only eat steamed buns. Isn't that right, Terramon?
That's right, Chisumi.
Okay. Can I have? I'll have what you're having.
You can have this little one here.
Great. Reaches out. Impossibly long fingers.
Terramon slaps your hand away and takes the small bun.
I smack him on the nose and say, "Don't do that. Mean, rude, not nice."
Oh, what's the name of that that ability where we share our senses?
A bond?
The bond, yeah. So we share, like we see, hear, and feel the same things. If one of us gets hungry, both of us gets hungry. If one of us has to pee, both of us has to pee.
Okay,
that's how it works.
We go to the bathroom, and actually, if Terramon has to pee, that doesn't magically like make pee in Chisumi. That'd be weird.
No,
but like, but we both get there not knowing who actually has to go, and it's
Which
a kind
one?
Of.
All right.
A kind of
I was making it more towards like sight, smell, taste, hearing, touch, like...
No, the six senses. All the ones you said, and piss.
You don't share a bladder.
We don't share a bladder, but we feel it. That's definitely, like, touch. It's internal, yeah. But...
Yes, yeah. Crazy C... 273, if one is horny, they both are horny.
Well, then that still counts for pee.
Wait, what?
But I'm a boy, so I'm like a little boy, so I'm not horny yet.
I'm not horny.
Mika, you know you were recording you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everybody, Bachman here. And hey, I get it. Erectile dysfunction is a sensitive topic, and it's difficult visiting a doctor to talk about it because if you go outside, everyone will see you're not hard. Thankfully, through Hims, you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. Answer a series of questions on their site, and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you for free. No insurance needed. The process is simple and online, so you can skip all the hard stuff. Save that for your pants. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/greetings. That's hims.com/greetings for your personal ED treatment options. hims.com/greetings. Let's get hard together. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
My favorite spring takeaway, especially after doing taxes, is cleaning out my dang monthly bills that I don't need. When I do my taxes and I go through the lines, I'm like, I spent how much on an MMO I'm not playing? At the end of the month, where does all my dang money go? I can tell you right now that with Mint Mobile, my money is not wasted at all on wireless. I've lowered my wireless bill. So cheap, so valuable with Mint Mobile. You know it. A couple years ago, Jennifer and I switched. We haven't looked back. What else am I going to tell you? It just works. I did it. I switched. And I'll tell you what, whenever I go through my bank statements, that wireless bill, compared to what I was paying before, I scream in heavens and I do a dance, all right? I'll do a little dance. You should also say bye to your overpriced wireless plans. Get rid of those jaw-dropping bills, especially because Mint Mobile is here to rescue you. They have premium wireless plans that start at just $15 a month. On top of that, all the plans come with high-speed data, unlimited talk and text, and it's all on the nation's largest 5G network. Whoa. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/greetings. That's mintmobile.com/greetings. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/greetings. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fee, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Feeling like you're stuck, can't breathe, or that you could explode at any moment? Life is stressful. And whenever it becomes too much to carry, lighten the load with therapy. Recently, I've had life throw a lot at me, and instead of bottling it up like I normally do and keeping it to myself,
I started therapy, and now that weight feels lifted off my chest. If you think it's time to let therapy do the heavy lifting, reach out to BetterHelp. It's entirely online, so it's therapy that's convenient, flexible, and perfectly suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and then you're free to message, video, or phone call your therapist whenever you need. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragons to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/dragons.
You have been at sea for a few days now, and it has been an incredibly pleasant, lovely, uneventful trip. However, there is a tension in the crew that started to kind of befall them and the captain, because this is why you booked this particular ship. It wasn't the only ship making the journey from where you were to where you're going. However, the route it was taking was of particular interest to you because it was off the beaten path. It wasn't the more traveled, frequented passages and currents that ships take to cross the sea. It is going a route that honestly almost no ships are willing to take. And that's precisely why you booked passage on this. And it is partly because of this next stretch you're about to enter. And because it's about to enter a place, the strait. The strait, you know, is like more of a narrow passage of sea between two rocky land masses. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. The strait has a very cheeky, fun name that has been given by, you know, the sailing community. They call it Sailor's Tomb. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just a little bit of fun, like spice mm-hmm. things up. And
I say to Chisumi, I wonder if we'll hear the song in the Sailor's Tune. I wonder if it's like a little ditty, maybe the wind playing off the mountains.
The song?
Right, Sailor's Tune. Like humming a tune. I'm sure it's lovely.
I love music. Isn't that right, Terramon?
Yeah, you love music.
Penelope has kind of floated over at this point. And it's like, oh, Tegan, you're so silly. You know it's tomb, right?
No, what? No, I wouldn't go on a boat somewhere with a tomb. Gross.
It's where we're all going to die.
Oh, jeez.
Naharine's just like up behind, like right behind Chizumi.
Well, is it ironic? Like when you call a small dog Goliath?
I think it's pretty sincere from what I understand.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, are you... You have a dragon. We all have dragons.
Me worried? I never. In a thousand years would be worried, I say, gesticulating, spilling wine everywhere on all the buns.
He's sweating.
Slorp.
His upper lip.
Well, if we're going into some straight danger, we have to have a toast. And I hand the bottle to Naharine.
Well.
Tall drink of water for a tall drink of water.
Are you hitting on me?
I think he's trying to trade.
Oh, okay. Well, your cup is empty. My cup is full. I'm not giving you anything. But I will say this. Let us all drink to potentially dying together. This might be our last night. We might die in the morning. Who knows? May our pockets be lined with gold, mine at least, because I'm going to fleece you in the night. May our tummies be full of good sliced meats, and may our dragons feast upon our dead bodies before that of our enemies can take and defile us.
And if we should perish, then may we become stars in the great celestial sky together.
Hmm. Same. Ditto.
And more steamed buns!
It's 4:30 a.m. Knock, knock, knock.
It is very apparent, very quick, why this strait got its nickname. Because there is debris from broken, scattered, sunken, scuttled ships just like littering the rocks on the side. You see like the pieces of a mast and sail kind of wedged between two rocks off to the side here. You see like the prow that's a front part kind of broken off with the pointy bit out the front. Just kind of like,
you know.
I try to do some homework on this, but there's so many terms.
There's like an aft.
Yeah, there's an aft here. There's a starboard over there. There's a port over there. Yeah.
Hog's mouth.
Mm-hmm. Anchor.
There's an anchor.
I know what that is.
Boatswain.
There's a helm. But you see basically it is just there is every not you know every so often you see debris, wooden debris of ships that have something has happened, they've been crashed. That being said, the captain and the crew are very seasoned sailors. They all, a lot of them, have military training backgrounds, and they claim they have sailed this pass successfully before, and that's why they were willing to do it. And you come, so it's a very narrow, and then it kind of gets wide, and it's going to get narrow again. You're kind of in the wider part now. And you actually see what looks like ships kind of sticking out of the water. It's kind of like they sunk partially. It's not that deep here. A little bit sticking out here and there. You see one ship that's kind of like torn in half, but the half one half of it's kind of still floating. It's kind of bobbing, and it's kind of just kind of drifting along. And can everyone make me perception checks, please?
I would love to.
Yeah. And if you have questions, I know because we're kind of, this is a lot of custom here, and I sent you some cheat sheets. I have all your stuff I can pull up. And
I got a 3.
Oh, that's a bad roll. I got a 12. Not a great roll.
I got a 19.
That's a great roll.
Slow down, fuckers. I got an 11.
That's 2 ones.
You're just kind of hanging out. We'll say it's kind of early morning, slept through the night uneventful after the wonderful, eloquent, heartfelt toast you shared yesterday.
Yes.
And it's kind of a mist, a haze, and you swear you might be going crazy, but you swear you see a little bit of movement on this half ship that's kind of just drifting, of like figures, like silhouettes kind of moving, shambling about on that.
Does anyone else see what I'm seeing on this boat over here?
No.
Well, I am seeing, and I think that there are beings over there. Some sort of a creature.
You want us to go whack them, or?
I mean, maybe we should talk to the captain to see if that's normal. I mean, probably they know.
Or I guess maybe rescue them.
Or that. I honestly was mostly worrying about our own safety, but yes, we should rescue them.
Yes, I'm they're fine, though, probably, right? Because we're on a deadline, you see. Make haste.
While I have this talk, the captain, she actually just kind of comes up next to you, and she's a very, like, statuesque, put together, real tough as nails looking. Her name's Helena Stride, and she says, "We'll be steering clear of that, don't worry." And as the words leave her mouth, I need everyone to make me a dexterity saving throw because something slams into your barge from the bottom and the whole thing lurches slightly.
Of course.
8.
15.
I got an 11. Is this an effect that I could see while not blinded, deafened, or?
No.
Is this applicable for that? Okay. Damn.
I got a 7.
Okay. Anyone who did not beat a 10, so you did not get an 11 or higher, falls prone.
Yes.
Oh, no!
And then the ship immediately starts like shaking and vibrating, and there's just this like thump, thump, thump reverberating from the bottom.
It's the tune! It's the tune, I told you!
It's 2. We're both laying on the ground, I assume, beside each other, and we're like dazed, and I'm like correcting you. It's 2.
Get off me.
I would put my arm down to help you, just one arm to help you both up, and then just say, you know, maybe it is tune. Maybe we had it wrong the whole time. Maybe this guy's right.
Mm-hmm. We both grab your arm at the same time to get up.
While this is happening, the half ship is like drifting closer and closer to the barge, and it's getting pretty closer, and there's still mist, but you can definitely see humanoid figures kind of shambling about on there, and thump, thump, thump.
Pat, I would like to use powers, and the powers for which I would like to do is I would like to cast light on Syriax is whatever.
You don't even know your own dragon's name?
I kept changing it.
Ciliaxis, right?
Ciliaxis. I just keep saying ciliax.
Yeah. Ciliaxis.
Ciliaxis. I would like to cast light on Ciliaxis's snoot and have them.
Just a big spotlight.
Yeah, big spotlight.
Got you.
Rudolph style.
Perfect.
Shine some light on this night so bright.
Yeah.
at the half ship.
Yeah, this bright, beautiful white light. It's like.
Light him up, Sil.
It's like if the moon was in a spotlight, just emits from your dragon snoot and bathes the deck of the ship in light. And yeah, you see, it is very plain to all of you, this ship, there is a bunch of what is commonly referred to as ghouls. They are humans that have been killed by Scourge or the Blight and have reanimated, and they are ghouls. And it said that their ship kind of bumps into the front of the barge, and the ghouls start shambling towards where it's like, and it's like the sharp bits of the splintered wood have kind of like stuck and wedged a little bit into your barge. And they're walking towards. It's not an easy cross to see if they can. They kind of stumbled, some fell, and they're kind of moving towards the barge. And all this while, again, thump, 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 reverberating through the ship.
Terramon says, "Watch out! Those are Dark Humon. They travel in packs, and if they get too close, you can get overwhelmed."
So seeing this and with the light, the captain shouts and starts bellowing orders and is screaming to arms, to arms, to arms. And the sailors are, some are rushing toward with long sort of harpoons to maybe try and push off the broken part of the ship, or maybe, you know, some push off these ghouls to prevent them from climbing aboard. Some push off the ship. And again, this whole thumping and the captain's yelling, "Someone find out what that damn thumping noise is." People are running around to and fro.
Sounds like a Skrillex concert down there.
I'll go make sure that there's nothing that needs taken care of. Susan, let's go.
Is your dragon name Susan?
Yeah.
So are they trying to climb on the boat right now?
They're trying to like shamble toward, yeah, and there's a few sailors that are trying to like prod them back, but more and more are kind of appearing on the deck of this broken ship.
Okay. Chizumi says, "Terramon, go!" And he goes, "Overgrowth!" He wants to put vines on the side of the ship to make it harder for them to climb on.
Sprouting out of the wood itself, this huge clutch of tendrils and vines just appears miraculous, and it makes it, they're a bunch of them are tangled up in it. They were up front. Some are trying to go over them. It's a whole cluster. Before anyone does anything else, you hear a scream from off to the starboard. Hey, we're using terms here. Oh, the starboard, yeah. Side of the ship. And you look over just in time to see one of the sailors get pulled all over the edge into the railing, and then climbing over the side, you see a ghoul. It looks like a ghoul, but there's something a little off about them. Their features are a little more, I don't know, kind of sharp in their face, and they're kind of a half-rotted face. And then they climb, and they don't like sit. They kind of like slither onto the deck. It's a undead merperson. Let's roll initiative.
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
Do I have to kill them? I went to join them.
They just have skin like off half their face and just jaw exposed and just kind of slavering.
Tegan got a 14.
I got a 16.
I got a 16 also.
When you say that they're like big enough that you can ride for short periods of time, what do you consider to be a short period of time?
This combat would be fine. Yeah.
Okay. But you couldn't like go across the sea.
Yes, perfect. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. 16 weeks.
I got a 13 initiative.
You can go first, Bachman.
So yeah, whichever one of you that rolled a 16 wants to go first. As you do this, I would say another merperson, undead merperson, also crawls over further down towards the front, climbs up over the side.
Do we know that much about these creatures that are affected by the Scourge? Like,
yes, you would know. I think Hester would have taught you, like, the Scourge. It is, as far as you know, it basically is, you know, two things. It's these giant insectoid monsters, but then they carry the blight. And the blight, if that infects a thing, it can reanimate dead animals and they somehow are controlled then by like the Scourge hive mind at that point, and they basically seek out other living things to kill, consume, turn, infect with the blight. So you can, you know, you take the wrong kind of damage or the wrong type of attack from these things, you can catch the blight.
Got it. Okay.
Ooh.
In the book, there's a whole like table mechanic on how that works. So there's different levels of blight, kind of like exhaustion.
Mm. And, oh, cool.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
You can die from it, though. You said Bachman was going to go first?
Yeah. Can you explain to me again how, like how the dragon stuff works with like actions and like.
So the dragon and the human take their turn as one unit. So you still have your full movement and you can divide that between the two as far as the feet, the 30 feet. You can take one action between the two of you, one bonus action and one reaction.
Okay. Sick.
So the human, your rider has more spells they can draw on. But if you do that too much, your bond between the dragon starts to fray.
Right, because you only have so many like points for that, basically.
Correct.
Are you talking about the EP?
Correct. It's the EP.
So I would hop. I'd hop on. Chizumi hops on Terramon's shoulder. They would fly up, and then I would use my bonus action to use Flame Blade.
Ooh,
give me a fiery sword. And Terramon, you said there's just the one merperson, right?
There's two have climbed over so far.
Okay. Yeah, and Terramon would use Poison Spore! And then shoot a Poison Spore down on one of them. Doesn't matter which one at this point.
Sure.
16.
You hit.
Sick.
So if you do it at a zero EP cost.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like a cantrip, essentially. It's 1d4. If you want to burn an EP, for every one EP, if you want to burn, you can add a d4 of damage to that. Or you can do a zero.
No, we'll burn an EP. If I run out of EP and I can't do, like, does that affect the bond?
Yeah, if your EP drops to zero, the bond is broken. There's no magical connection. And actually, like, your human rider can pass out and go unconscious.
Okay. But I won't feel like I got to piss every 5 seconds.
No.
You might like it.
You will soil yourself initially, and then you won't.
Yeah. Worth it, honestly. This dragon's got an overactive bladder. He says, I have the overactive bladder. There's a debate.
Mm-hmm.
6 damage.
You just this green spore bursts forth from Terramon's toothy maw, blast down, and just you see like these like veins of green kind of like light up all down the undead merfolk, and they kind of snarl. And it's actually pretty fucked up. One of its arms like melts off from it.
Sick.
So it's kind of crawling, its fish tail swagging, it's kind of one arm crawling forward toward whatever person it could find, just kind of like, just like rotting away.
Terramon says something about how my love gives him strength or something like that, and then of course,
aww,
so
your
sweet.
Friendship,
that's so
the power
good.
Of it.
Nothing like a Pokemon. I agree to this.
What does Naharine do in the face of these undead horrors?
I don't think it's very nice to call them that. The Naharine would like to take out their javelin of lightning, and I want to javelin someone. Susan's putting in the money in her dragon pockets.
Mm-hmm.
She has extra dragon pockets so that we can then go. Once these are taken care of, then we can check out. And is the pounding still going on? Does it sound?
It is definitely. Yep. Just steady thump, thump.
Okay, I'm going to do hit one of the guys because I have range thrown,
mm-hmm.
So I can throw it. Does it come back? Do I have another one?
No, it comes back. It like magically comes back. Yeah.
Okay, I will do that on whichever one is closest to me of the.
I think that's going to be the one that Terramon poison spored. So you're gonna try and finish it off.
Oh shit. I rolled a nat one.
So you throw it. It kind of sails over the railing, but then it goes to a certain point and kind of disappears and then like rematerializes on your back.
It's gone forever because you rolled a nat one.
Yeah.
Damn.
No, and then Susan walks closer to me, so we're close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that is all of my options.
Yeah, if you want to hop on, it's fine.
Okay, I will hop on the dragon. So then next time I...
Okay. Another undead merperson crawls over from the left side of the ship now. So there's two over here, one over here. Thumping is still going on. And it's Tygan's turn.
He's holding a flower and smirking. And then other music starts going. Zatai, ume, mokoshiroku. And the bartender...
People who watch Attentive will love that.
Yeah, they're fucking rolling over. And the bartender I was talking to before falls into my arms and like leans back as a shining long sword materializes from her chest, and it's a very magical girl situation as my armor gets brighter, and I rush at them and like, feel my blade, and I want to go to the pack of ghouls who are being held back by the vines.
Okay.
I try to stab them through the vines to make sure they don't come out.
What type of sword does your character use?
It's a great sword. It's like it's kind of like what's his nuts uses in Castlevania. It looks like a rapier, but it's like very, very long.
Okay. That's okay.
So it's like two-handed.
What is his nuts?
You see his nuts, I think.
Yeah. I forgot we were on. Yeah, we're off. But I love this because this is very quintessential rider blade. The riders in this world often will have the, because they have enhanced strength and abilities with their bond, so they wield these crazy, huge ornate swords that are often shaped like their power, you know, like a lightning bolt if they're a storm dragon. But they are like Final Fantasy Buster Sword level big. They're just these honking things. And yeah, so you can easily run up, make an attack.
I would love to. Call me Naharim because I rolled a natural one.
Oh, you're just overexcited. You come in, you're swinging hot. You definitely give the I'm gonna say the vines, they look nice. You kind of did a little topiary work on them. They look more symmetrical, and like they look good. They look good. You kind of trimmed them up a little bit. You did not hit any ghouls, though.
Okay, I'll use my second attack to slash in there. That's much better. That is a 24.
All right, you hit one. How much damage?
I'm going to.
You were just clearing your line of sight. You know,
there's no way to get to him without making a topiary. Going to roll these two d6s, and that is 11 damage.
Mm-hmm. You hit this thing, like, I'm saying it's like jaw, like right at its jawline, and cut like the top like 3/4 of its head off, and it like drops. You just drop one.
Hell yeah. And I believe that's my turn. Thank you so much. And there's like the light shining down on me, light kind of like moonlight coming off my sword.
Wow.
As I kind of like pull it back to my chest and ready my next attack.
Looks so cool.
As again, she's flying up above, shining the moonlight down on them.
Nice. And they don't like it, by the way. They don't. They seem to recoil. They seem to be like kind of like recoiling a little bit from it and trying to avoid it if they can't help it. They don't like. They don't like moon. They don't like this kind of moonlight.
Good to know.
Penelope, you've got three undead merfolk crawled over. One's pretty fucked up looking. You have a mysterious thumping coming from deep below. You know, somewhere in the ship. You've got a gang of these undead human ghouls that are kind of being held at bay by Tygan and vines and some sailors with pole arms.
I would like to go for one of the merfolk, the undead merfolk. Let's say the one that's already injured.
Okay. It's missing an arm. It's going real slow. It's trying to like, again, it's almost kind of sad, but creepy. It's just kind of...
Or maybe I should do the other one then, since that one's like kind of like incapacitated a little bit. Does that make sense?
Legally? No, but you do what you want.
I want to get the other one, I've decided. Because I just feel like if it's just like crawling along, that's less of a problem.
Yeah, and we should say we are level 5.
We're level 5,
and
yes.
We're doing kind of a fusion of the chaos rules, that's what I call them, and SRD 5e, and you'll be able to see what they look like when they're finally finished on the Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Penelope kind of like floats forward, and it's like the wind is like rustling her hair and like making her dress billow behind her, and she reaches out a hand very elegantly, and I would like to cast Psychic Bolt on the more powerful mer creature.
All right.
And that is, it says make a ranged power attack.
So instead of spell attack,
Okay.
Yeah, plus six. Yeah. Plus six. Yeah.
You're not trying to get sued, even though you're
lying. Oh, I see. I got it.
There is, again, for the purposes of what we're doing here, I'm keeping the essence of it. Some of the things are kind of like, because there's a lot of decisions to make. So I'm kind of like.
Right.
There's a really cool mechanic in there where you build out everything from scratch as far as your hit points and your power and all these different dice that you use. It's really cool and honestly very intuitive. But I'm trying to make it easy on y'all because we're picking this up kind of as we go. Like,
and we're desperately stupid.
We're so dumb.
I'm personally famously good at picking up new rule sets and understanding what's happening.
I know.
So, me too.
You know, I didn't need it, but for the rest
of you weirdly are. I know you're joking about it. But you're really good at like zooming in on like the very specific things, and I want to give you your flowers for that.
Oh, thank you.
I rolled very well. I got a 22 for attack.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And on a hit, the target takes. I'm assuming that's a hit.
Yep.
1d6 psychic damage. Oh. Six.
Let's go.
Oh my god. Yeah, so let's say it's like you see like a kind of like sickeningly like ghostly like pale blue like light go out, and it's actually like shockingly like you think like a bolt is like fast, but it's not really fast. It just is like, oh, it's going. Like nothing that can stop this is like, and it like goes inside of his ears actually.
Ooh.
And like it all into all of his orifices, like into like its nose and mouth and ears, and it's like. Blah.
It does like, and were you attacking another one? You said,
not the one that was dragging itself, but the other one, because were there two on that side, one that had not been hit yet.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, that's the one I hit.
It kind of convulses. It does not like it at all. The one-armed merfolk tries to get closer, doesn't quite make it. The one that Penelope hits. How close did you get to that one, Penelope, when you were...
So, let me double check. 30 feet away.
Okay. It does not... It tries to crawl toward you. It doesn't quite make it. There is another one that, on the left side, it crawls up and you see it try to bite the ankle of a sailor, and the sailor's trying it off. It couldn't quite make it to you all. Suddenly, we're at the top of the round, but suddenly the captain, she's kind of there in the midst of you all, and she's soaking wet. She's just soaking wet. And what's weird is like her neck, like the veins in her neck are like glowing kind of blue and stuff, and she's breathing heavy. And she's holding, she unrolls like this leather, and there's like all these vials of dark blue substance. And she's breathing heavy. She goes, "We fucking found out what it is."
Well, I was just getting ready to go down there. You give me like another 30 seconds, the problem would have been taken care of.
Well, stop talking and Baja blast him.
I need you all to drink these and get down there. It'll let you breathe under the water for 1 hour. It's a big fucking undead crab.
In the bottom of the ship?
Like fucking big. Underneath the ship, trying to punch through with its big claws. We can handle these ghoul fuckers. We've seen them before. We'll handle them. I need you, Dragon Riders. You get down there. I don't know how the fuck I'm going to deal with a 20-foot fucking undead crab.
You bring me some Old Bay, some sausage, and some potatoes, and we're going to have a cookout. I got your dinner right down there. Let's go, guys.
I'm from Maryland. This thing stands not a chance. Fuck it. I don't know what this is. Glug, glug, glug. Do I shoot it to my...
Is this a suppository?
Yeah, one of us snorts it.
You drink it, yeah.
I'll drink, no hesitation.
So if you take it, yeah, it's a potion of water. It lets you breathe underwater for the next hour, and anyone who wants to, with their dragon or themselves, go off the side, you know, go down the boat. But it is Chizume's turn.
Does that mean that the dragon can also breathe?
I'm going to say in your case, yes.
Hell yeah. Oh, well, if it's just what they feel, then the dragon would feel like it can breathe.
And then you're going to drown.
You can breathe. It feels like it can.
I'm going to say dragons can hold their breath for a very long time, we'll say.
Oh, okay.
I think that makes sense, though.
Okay.
I mean, they have enough lung power to shoot out lightning bolts and fire and stuff like that. Yeah. They can hold their breath.
I have the ability to get my dragon fish gills, but we'll go with that.
Why'd you ask?
So yeah, we'll swoop down there. I guess if we both go down there, then we can only go. We split the movement, right?
You can kind of cheat that if you're on him.
Hell yeah, I am on him. And yep, and we go down there. We see a big crab.
You're under the water. It's kind of dark and murky, but you can still see. It's a big fucking 20-foot crab, and it is like, but it's like its shell is like. There's like holes in its shell, and it's kind of rot. It's got like, it just looks like rot on it.
Like when you go to the beach and you just like see the like corpse of a crab on the beach and it's all fucked up looking.
And there's another crab eating it.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Circle of life, baby.
Nature's so metal.
Whoa.
I know you said giant, the words giant crab, but is this crab medium or smaller?
It's not. It's size large.
Well, a giant crab could be anywhere as big as a kiddie pool.
Yeah, and Pat said he would give us anything.
I did.
you're like the aunt, or like the aunt and uncle / the grandparents that are like hanging out with us. And we're being like awful.
More like substitute teacher, but yeah.
Yeah, or that.
Pat, it's more fun for me if you say yes right now. Because I got that fire, I got that flame. Does the flame blade work underwater? Probably not, huh?
It's magic.
Yeah, it's magic.
Magic flame.
And we have these magical swords, right? You've spent, we didn't do it on air, but we spent 6 hours crafting these glorious ones using the Songs of Chaos.
We actually crafted them also in real life.
Yeah. That's true. Mm-hmm. And here's mine right here.
You have to roll a physical dice 10,000 times. For the 10,000 times the steel is folded over.
Wow.
I'm going to attack with my flame blade. The Terramon will swoop underneath, and then me just so that...
It looks so cool, because the dragon's like swimming. It's like the wings are like pushed back, you know, and it's just like cuts through the water. You kind of like do a swim by and just kind of...
Yeah, I just got to hold the blade up, and it's gonna do an attack. Oh my god, it's dead.
You killed it?
I killed it.
Aw. I wanted to kill it.
Don't bother checking the stats. that's going to be a 24.
Yes, that hits.
Ooh, a 2, a 6, and a 1. So hit him with that 9.
Okay. It shudders. You kind of hear, you can't really hear under, it doesn't let out a shriek or anything, but it definitely shudders and stops trying to punch a hole, and it was really close, by the way. Say there was like cracks in the underside.
Ooh.
And it kind of turns towards you.
Why?
Before it can do anything, though, it's Naharine's turn. Unless, I assume that's your turn. I keep doing that.
Yeah, that's good enough.
Okay.
I'd say.
I don't know what all my bonus actions are yet, so.
They're not, you haven't unlocked a bunch of them at this point yet. Yeah. Again, I was trying not to give y'all.
Keeping it straight.
I was trying not to give y'all too much. Enough to be fun, but not overwhelming.
We should have been level 20 and made this horrible.
You're right.
That would have been stressful for me.
I've played in level 21 shots. It's, yeah. As a play.
On a system that hasn't been finalized yet.
Naharine. You've been offered a potion of water breathing. You've got some undead merfolk, undead ghouls. You understand there's a giant undead crab underneath you.
So I have zap. If I zap the water, does it electrocute the crab?
I'm going to say yes. And you just have such good control that you avoid. I'm going to say it only hurts them if you crit fail.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Do
I'm going to
do it. Do it.
I'm going to zap.
Okay.
I think I'm going to try and zap for 2. For 2 EP. Oh, sorry. That's for 1 EP. Sorry. 1 EP.
Okay.
So then I will be shooting 2d6 lightning damage at it.
I'm going to say as long as you don't crit fail, you hit it because you're just hitting the water. And it's like, how do you miss the water? And it's like...
Oh, thank God. I rolled a 17.
There you go. You do it. Roll 2d6, see how much this thing gets cooked.
And 5, 10.
This thing sizzles and cooks, and it just kind of like, it's not dead, but it seems, it almost kind of curls in on itself a little bit, and it's kind of taking a breather.
Amazing.
I'm going to say you stun it, and actually submit, like, it was supposed to be its turn, but you've got that thing down so fucked up. Tygan,
yes.
What are you doing with your vine boys?
Well, I already drank the fucking thing, and okay. It's going to feel bad not to... do anything with it.
Get down here. It's fucking awesome.
And I'm going to say, Pat, that I'm going to walk 5 feet, and just stop walking and let gravity do the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like drop down in the water. Surely no one would say that that costs movement. Surely no one would say that.
No.
Wow.
You do it. You guys, I mean, you're epic. You're these enhanced ability. Again, as riders, having this bond is not only like the magic powers, like casting spells, you are literally stronger, faster, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Like, you okay. are enhanced. You are enhanced creatures.
Okay.
So you got this.
So I'll drop down to the water. As I'm down there, Sailor Axis will drop down as well and shine the beam on the crab so that we can all have a good idea of where to hit its weak points and things like that. And I will push my legs off of its snoot and rush forward and try to stab, push off my dragon snoot and try to skewer this creature with my blade. That is a 25.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a... 11 damage, and then his sword glows bright blue, and huge amounts of light shoot all around me as I use my channel smite, my like kind of smite feature, and it will take an extra 11 damage.
It's a crab cake.
Damn.
It's just this smoldering, steaming, just like all this, like all these bubbles kind of appear because it's like steam underwater. It's just it's just like this blackened shell curls.
Hi-ya!
So wait, are you
the crab is dead. Big crab
is dead. Okay.
Yeah.
I still have another attack. Oh, and I thwack at it again.
You got to crack the shell open so we can start getting in there.
Penelope, back up on deck.
Yeah.
There is still 3 merfolk and 3 of the humanoid ghouls have kind of spilled over onto the deck.
So I'm alone with all the ghouls.
There's some sailors doing their best. Like they're pretty seasoned.
The captain said she could handle or they could handle it.
I mean, they kind of, and you see the captain and a sailor kind of tag team take down
nice.
They dispatched the one-armed undead merfolk based on that role. They're doing okay. It's not like it's a given, but
cool.
Okay, I'm going to. I don't know. It seems like I have a lot of options for people. Is there one that's like attacking someone that seems like they're struggling or
yes,
anything like that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They're really new. It's like their first voyage and they're just shitting themselves.
It's my first day.
So in that case, I would like to cast Mind Skip on one of the ghouls. They need to make a wisdom save.
Okay. Ghoul's famously good at wisdom. Yeah, that's a 4.
That's unfortunate for the ghoul because now, on a failure, the creature stares blankly into the distance until the start of my next turn. While affected in this way, the creature is incapacitated and has a speed of 0.
So little Johnny Skipper in his first trip.
Yeah.
He's got like his harpoon and the ghoul's like leaning over trying to like bite at him. And then Penelope does her thing and then the ghoul just kinda like just stops and just kinda
Yeah, let's say for this one, like, Penelope, like, again, puts her arm out in a different kind, like, it almost looks like the light is kind of, like, going, like, woo-woo, like, swirling around everywhere, mm-hmm. and then it just, like, kind of, like, explodes in its face, like,
love it.
And then it's, yeah, its eyes roll back, just blah.
And it just kind of just, what is purpose of unlife?
Exactly. And then I think that I'll do that, and, I mean, I think that's it for me. Yeah. I'm going to stay up on deck.
No, we're all
I think
wet.
I call Oberon over. Yeah. So that I can maybe hop on.
Excellent. While you were doing that, one of the Merfolk comes up and tries to do a bite on you, Penelope.
No!
No, Pat.
I'm gonna go ahead and assume that 6 does not hit your AC.
It doesn't. I was like ready. I was fully ready to get hit because my AC is not very high, but
I rolled like garbage.
Hey.
And then a second Merfolk tries to do a bite on Oberon.
No, my beautiful boy.
He's gonna die.
It hits because I don't know what's AC. I said 18 AC for the dragon. Yeah.
Yeah, that hits me. That hits me.
The monk did not do a bite. It had a spear because the ghouls sometimes wield weapons. They just pick stuff up and it stabs. I'm sorry, your sweet baby dragon boy takes 4 piercing damage.
No, my boy.
Oh, what does it look like when the dragon dies?
No.
Well, you're useless to us. Go overboard.
Yeah, Penelope's like, down, screaming. Covering yourself in blood.
Chizume, what do you do?
Shit, what's left? I mean, I'm underwater still. We got
nothing underwater that you can see.
I mean, this crab's still here, right? I was thinking we drag this crab up. We start cooking up some crab buns.
Yeah. I mean, we can still see it. It's dead and chopped in many pieces, but yeah.
It's definitely so rotted and filled
with
blight.
You use it as like a float, like a raft.
Ew.
Why don't I scrape off some of these barnacles off the bottom of the boat? Okay, so.
Oh, I'm done here.
So yeah, up I go. Back up to the tippy top, and there's what? There's a ghoul or two up here still?
There's some ghouls. There's some undead merfolk, yeah.
I'm gonna flame blade a ghoul.
All right, do it.
Ooh, 11.
No.
From the ground?
Wait. Sorry.
Does that change anything?
Yeah, that hits. Sorry, that does hit.
Okay, I was like, damn, that's a beefy ghoul. A 5, a 3, and a 5, 13 to that ghoul.
What's it look like when you fucking vivisect this thing?
Yeah, it's just like 100% just like lights in, like you see the sword come down, it splits, and then flame erupts from the cavity where the split happened.
Oh, love it.
Yeah, it lights the boat on fire, we all drown.
No!
Worth it.
We do have to sail on the crab husk.
Wonderful turn. Naharine.
I will hop on, I think it was already on Susan, hop on Susan's back.
Yeah.
In either case, Susan and I would go upstairs and I would like to throw my javelin of lightning at one of the ghouls that is trying to attack.
Mm-hmm.
I protect. I got I rolled a 6 plus a 5, 11.
Yep, just hits.
How are you able to do that so fast?
Math? Or? I love doing stupid, like, little math like that. I don't know why. It makes my brain happy. Okay, so.
You do the good brain chemicals.
Yeah.
It hurts me to do math.
13 damage total.
This thing just, like, explodes.
Yes.
Yeah, Nahazreen just throws that out and says,
it's time you go to sleep. It's past your bedtime. That one's not really good, but we'll workshop that later. Susan, you got any good ones? And then, poof, it pops her back.
Excellent. Tygon.
Tygon is pushed up from the Blarney Deep like a frickin' SeaWorld entertainer riding the snoot of a killer whale. And launches in the air, and he slashes down wherever there's multiple enemies, Pat, and he doesn't care which one to attack, probably will start with the one on his left as he's falling from the sky, and he goes, "You'll sleep with the fishes!" And that's my first attack, and that is a 19.
Yep.
9 damage.
That's just enough. You kill one.
I roll, and then I slash at another one next to me, and that is 14 damage.
You just are freaking laying waste.
And then that is another 11 damage as my sword is a flash of light in this cold night.
Damn.
Tygon is just, despite his tall stature, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. He's like just darting around and just, you just see these flashes of silver with the blade striking, and ghouls are just dropping limp to the ground. And unless there's anything else with that, Penelope, there is one. There's one undead merfolk, the one who stabbed your boy.
All right, Pat, I want to do a thing that's slightly unconventional.
Okay.
I'm not going to attack it directly. What I want to do is I want to use simple illusion.
Okay.
Because I want to lure it off. I don't know. Is there, like, I guess it would just drop down back into the water if I did that.
We're free of the crab, so we just say peace out.
What would a ghoul love to attack?
Pussy.
Ghouls have notoriously a hard time with cats.
because ghouls, they just want to like eat people. That's just like their driving force, right? Like, what are ghouls into? Other than pussy.
Humans.
Yeah. Let's say I would like to make the illusion of like just a little like a child, like like trembling. And
why'd you throw me a baby overboard? I'm so tender.
I'm like right in front of it, like in front of the ghoul, but it's like moving and it's like crying, like running and crying, but turning around like, oh, don't chase me.
That sounds, I'm just gonna say, that sounds so delicious to the undead merfolk, and they're just like, it's their favorite. It's their favorite treat, and they just go after it.
Yeah. But the illusion starts to climb down the side of the boat. Like it snorting and crying.
Right over, falls, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what happens.
And with that, so one of the sailors with their harpoons dislodged a broken bit of boat. There are a few ghouls still on it, you know, but they've dislodged it, and you seem to be moving on. And people are kind of patrolling the sides, you know, the looking down over the railings, make sure nothing's trying to climb up out of the water, and you're kind of on your way.
Ciliaraxis is flying in circles with the spotlight, trying to see if there's any hangers on or things like that.
I'm patching Oberon up and giving him lots of little kissies on the face and pets and feeding him little treats.
If any of them try to get back up on the boat, can I tase them?
Yes, absolutely.
I just stand there and I zap them with Sousa. I say, you get off of this boat. This is our boat.
Two more times, an undead merfolk tried to climb up, and Nahari just like, no, fuck off. Fuck you.
You get out of here.
Well, now that that's done, I could go for some food.
Oh, Suzume.
The chef comes up and is like, crab cakes, anyone?
Yes!
Oh, no. And my face goes green.
You were heading for a city called Ridgefall.
Mm-hmm.
Ridgefall is a city kind of up on a coastal cliff. Like the city proper is like these mountains, and then there's like a flat space, and the city's there, and there's cliffs, and there's the port is kind of down a ways, kind of at sea level, right? So it's like big city up here, kind of down the hill, port. And you're going there because you were hoping for a couple of, you had heard your clues had led you that one of the magistrates of the city might know something about, we're going to say you found a talisman with a weird symbol on it at the scene of Hester's murder. And also, the great thing about Ridgefall is it's kind of out of the way a bit. and it doesn't get a lot of attention from the, you know, it just kind of does its own thing. So you feel like you could fly under the radar, literally and figuratively there. So that's why you're going there. So that's, you know.
We found a matchbook from the Happy Badger Inn.
Yes, exactly. Same, yeah. So the rest of the voyage, it's another day and a half or so, goes smoothly. And you see the mountain, the cliffs of Ridgefall. But as you come into port, the quiet, sleepy port you were expecting is not there. Instead, it is really busy.
Oh.
Huh.
It is all a bustle. You look up, and there is, it looks like there's been like hundreds of flags and just like decorative flags placed all along, like the path from the port leading up to the city. Flags all over the city. Everyone's flying flags everywhere.
It's flag day.
There's like carts and stalls and encampments along the path up to the city, and it's just like a shit ton of people.
It's a hot spot.
Yeah. And what's more is you see dragons flying around the mountain, kind of like just kind of lazily doing like laps around the mountain that looms over the city. Lots of them. Lots of dragons.
Sick.
Now, we were going here because this is a sleepy backwoods town, and this looks like a damn fair on harvest day.
What's wrong with having a little fun?
We're not supposed to be here. We're renegades, you see.
Do you disembark? Talk to anyone?
I tell my dragon to beat feet, but I stay on the freaking boat.
What does that mean?
Beat feet. Run away.
Well, you're just sending them off?
Yeah, I can communicate with my dragon over long distances.
Mm. I mean, I think we gotta get off the boat, right? To explore?
As you pull in, there is a uniform, like a military uniformed individual on the dock where the ramp would come down, kind of waiting there, and the person next to them wearing professional clothes with a clipboard. And he sees you talk to your dragon and send him off flying and kind of waves to you to come down.
I do it.
I know my tags aren't expired.
We're fishermen.
He goes, so the person goes, your name, dragon's name, team name. Your team name?
I don't have a dragon, but my name is Tygon Bruntigar.
The taller gentleman in the armors. I literally just saw you talk to that dragon, and you kind of.
It
have
was
a
wild.
Matching,
it was wild. It was a wild one.
You kind of have a matching.
It was a wild one.
Theme.
It was a wild one.
With your, what about those three dragons?
We all just wore the same thing.
That's not mine.
Yeah.
It was a coincidence. What can we say?
You all kind of had that.
You're gonna start asking more questions.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a problem.
We need your names and your team name for the Ridgefall Relay. The dragon race that you're here to... Oh. I mean, why else would you be here?
Oh.
With dragon.
Oh.
Are you here for another reason? Are you renegade dragon?
No.
I'm Chizumi Kusaki, and you know I'm the leader because I'm wearing goggles.
Right, write that down.
That's true. Yeah, we thought you were... The competition. Yeah, that's right. You were the competition, see? And we didn't trust you. Yeah, that's right.
Add another C in there just for...
See? My dragon's name is...
Okay.
Lightning McQueen.
Remind me not to bet on this one. I need a team name for the race.
Disney's Cars.
Disney's Cars.
Okay. Right in there. Cease and desist.
It's spelled different.
D-I-Z-Z.
Disney's. Disney's.
It leans over. The armor doesn't remind me to look up parody law in the specifics. Oh, but yeah, you've inadvertently signed up for a dragon relay race. And we're gonna,
oh, so we really did sign
and
up for
we're
it.
We're going to find out how that goes next week, I think.
Oh, not again.
Wait, so what? I feel like we shouldn't call ourselves Disney's Cars.
Too late.
I guess.
You want to amend it real quick?
Yeah. Too late.
What are you going to do?
The Atlanta Falcons.
Star Wars is the Millennium Falcons. Well, thank you so much, Pat. That
yes,
was a blast first session. We'll be having our second one next week. And yet again, Pat, please tell the fine folks about the Songs of Chaos Kickstarter coming October 11th.
Thank you. So this was a tiny, tiny snippet of the Songs of Chaos fifth edition book. It's an adaptation of the book series where you could do like these lovely folk have and play as a dragon rider and get lots of original cool new powers and abilities and go on adventures with your dragon pal and fly through the air and do lots of cool shit.
We love dragons.
Kickstarter goes live October 11th. And if you like playing TTRPGs and you like dragons and you like this show, if you like Greetings Adventurers and Geekly, I mean, you should click the affiliate link in the show notes.
Yeah.
That comes out October 11th and support. Cause you and get the book, get a fun adventure and support this community.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little kissy. Thank you. And we'll be back next week as we all every single Tuesday. You can find the show at D&D Podcast on Twitter or at Greetings Adventurers on Instagram. Check out our fine things there. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/D&D Podcast. We just released episode one of The Foaming Tankard, DM'd by our very own chronicler, Oracle extraordinaire, Mr. Red. And we're joined by a chunk of the crew from the Dungeons and Dragons podcast. So it's a great one. Head on over to the Patreon to check out more episodes of that. You can find Michael on Twitter at Thrifty Nerd. You can find me on Twitter at Tim Lanning.
You can find me on Twitter at Jennifer Cheek.
You can find me on Twitter at Nika_Howard.
You're muted.
I know! I'm at the Mike Bachman.
I stole Bachman's whole like shtick because I'm at the Pet Edwards. You know, the whole like putting a the and then your name, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I invented that.
He's the only person that's he was the first person to do it. I was the second.
And, yeah. He's like, yeah, I definitely didn't do that to my AOL Instant Messenger screen name back in the day. Yeah.
Well, I'm not allowed to say keep it dicey, but I'm gonna quote Michael. Keep it dicey.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.